Srila Prabhupada Ki, Sri Bhakti Vedanta Ki, Granta Raj, Shima Bhagavatam Ki, Shri Girilaj Maharaj Ki, Jai Nithai Go Premanande. Okay. So tonight we'll begin we'll finish chapter 88. Tomorrow night we'll begin chapter 89. How many chapters are there in the 10th canto? 90. Did you get my WhatsApp message? Good. What did it say? The closed book examination will be at the end of August. 10th canto will be finished. End of August. 2nd of September, you'll need to submit your open book exams and finish your oral presentations. Okay, is that okay? And then we'll begin 11th canto. And then we'll probably have about 6 weeks or so on the 11th canto. I'll go to India October 24th, so I'll finish about mid-October. So yeah, we'll begin the 11th canto, and then we'll see. See how I go. See how much we cover. And 11th canto is very different because the 11th canto is philosophically extremely deep. Purports are very in depth. There's a lot to cover in the 11th canto philosophically. It's very philosophical. 10th canto is just lila, you know, interspersed with philosophy, but the 11th canto is very philosophical. So we'll see how rapidly we go through it. I'll try to go at a reasonable pace, but we'll have to see. Okay. So tonight we'll go from verses 21 to 40. Sukadeva Goswami continued. The benediction sinful Vrika chose from the Lord would terrify all living beings. Vrika said, may death come to whomever I touch upon the head with my hand. So he's come before Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva is known as Mahadeva. He is the most powerful of all devatas or demigods. Lord Shiva is extremely powerful, and when you come before a great personality, you do not ask for material benedictions if they're a spiritually advanced person. We see that Prabhupada one time went to speak to, it might have been one of the Bilas, I can't remember. It was someone very wealthy in India. Maybe the Bila family or someone. It was very, very wealthy family. And Prabhupada went to see them, you know, like one of the elder members. He had a meeting. So Prabhupada said to him, you know, we're spreading Krishna consciousness all over the world. We're international. The meeting was in Delhi or Mumbai, somewhere like that. Prabhupada was explaining. Prabhupada went to, you know, half an hour. He's explaining, we're all over the world now and such a big movement. And he said, in London, we want to build a big temple. So Prabhupada asked him for $50 million. Because he had the money. Prabhupada said, please give $50 million. So he very politely said, okay, we will consider it. Like that. They didn't give the money, but then when Prabhupada came out, Prabhupada said, if you go before someone very wealthy, very powerful, you don't ask for $5,000 or $50,000, you ask for $50 million. Otherwise, they will feel insulted. And then also, you're not getting what potentially you could get. So if you go before someone like Lord Shiva, you don't ask for a benediction like this. Vrikasura is a fool. Bhakti is sudulaba. Sudulaba means?
Very rare.
Very rare. It's rare to attain bhakti. So you don't go before a great devotee, a mahatma, and ask him for something material. You don't go before a great devotee and say, oh, please bless, ask for a material benediction. You always ask for something spiritually valuable, that kind of thing. Prabhupada would always ask, Prabhupada's father would always ask all the sadhus who came, please bless my son that he becomes a great devotee of Srimati Radharani. That's the consciousness. That's a worthy benediction. If we go before a great devotee, then you ask for a benediction which is spiritual. Now, you don't ask for some material benediction. So Vrikha is a foolish person. He doesn't understand the benefit that he could get from Lord Shiva's association. One time I was in Vrindavan, and we were on Parikram, and I was with my spiritual master, Tamal Krishna Maharaj, and Giriraj Maharaj. They were sitting, where Raj is sitting. I was sitting here, they were sitting there. They were taking prasadam, we were taking prasadam. We were all having breakfast on the Parikram, and then they were eating, and then, they were eating muli, puff rice. Is it muli or muri?
Muri.
L O R. Muli or muri?
Muri.
Muri. Muri. So they're eating the muri, right? But then some bits are falling here and there off the plate. So then afterwards, when they finished, I went and took their plates, leaf plates, and I collected all the bits and I put it in the leaf plate, and then I folded it up because I didn't want to embarrass them that I was taking their remnants. But then Tamal Krishna Maharaj said to me, he said, you are a fool. He said, the remnants have fallen from the plate of the sannyasi and you are just going to throw it in the bin. Because I kind of scrunched the plate up. I wasn't going to throw it in the bin. I said, no, Gurudev, I was going to take it. And then he smiled. He said, that's good. So in other words, if you go to a great personality, you don't waste the opportunity. If you're in front of a great personality, you take their remnants, you take their benedictions, you take the dust from their feet, you render some service, you give some dakshina, right? You take advantage of the association. You come before great personalities, do not waste the opportunity. So Vrikha is a fool. what is the benediction? Anyone's head I touch will explode. What sort of a benediction is that? Who would want such a thing? Only an asura. Only a demoniac person would want to have such a benediction. Any points? Upon hearing this, Lord Rudra seemed somewhat disturbed. Nonetheless, O descendant of Bharata, he vibrated Om to signify his assent, granting Vrikha the benediction with an ironic smile, as if giving milk to a poisonous snake. So, why did he give this benediction to Vrikha? The great devotees, they understand what Krishna's plan is. Right. If you read the first chapter of the Krishna book, the 10th canto, and then Narada, the first three chapters, it means it is predicted that Krishna will come. And he will kill Kamsa. That is the description. So while that is being described, that Krishna will come, he will kill Kamsa, Kamsa is told that the eighth child will kill him. But then Narada comes to Kamsa. And Narada says to Kamsa, We don't know which one is the eighth child. No? Because if we count backwards, number one is the first, is number eight. And if we go forwards, then number eight is number eight. Or if we start somewhere else, it'll be different. So then he confused Kamsa. So why did he do that? Why did Narada want to make so many of the children be killed? And Kamsa gave the first child back. But then when he heard Narada speak like that, then he killed the child. So why was it that that took place? Because Narada understood the intention of Krishna. What was the intention of Krishna?
He wanted to come.
Yeah, Krishna wanted to come. So Narada wanted to speed it up. Right? Because he wanted Krishna to appear. To perform his pastimes. So in the same way, Lord Shiva, he knows. Right? He'll give this benediction. But there is a pastime that is coming. Like that. So then he is assisting the Lord. The other point is that when the demons get these benedictions, then what do? They cause problems. And what happens when they cause problems? Then the karma of all the living entities is dealt out. Just like when Ravana, when he took control, then he turned everything upside down. All the people who were performing punya, pious activity, they were going to Patala. And all the people who were performing pap, sinful activity, they were going to swag. So turning everything upside down. So devotees understand this is the desire of the Lord. Some people, they need to get their karma. So these pastimes are like that. Otherwise, why would Shiva give such a benediction? But the Lord has some pastime to perform, and also the living entities, their karma will come. Like that. Hiranyakashipu, Hiranyaksha, all these personalities, when they come, there are so many problems.
How does it speed up the process of Krishna's advent?
Because when all the babies were killed, they kept having another child, and then that sped up the process.
They didn't have another child anyway, right?
Maybe, but they may not have had the child so quickly. Or it said Narada sped up the system. Okay. To test Lord Shambhu's benediction, the demon then tried to put his hand on the Lord's head. Thus Shiva was frightened because of what he himself had done. So sometimes we make mistakes. Have you ever made a mistake in devotional service? Did you ever do something wrong which had to be rectified? Devotional, sometimes we do. Sometimes we make some mistake. So how do we avoid making mistakes in devotional service? How do you avoid it? You get guidance, very good. Who from? Yeah. Guru, who else? Sadhu and Shastra. And then you won't make mistakes. You have to follow the guru, the sadhu, and the shastra, and then you won't make mistakes. Otherwise, sometimes you'll make mistakes. One time I was upstairs, just up here. And now it's Sugadev Prabhu's office, but it used to be like a darshan room for the sannyasis. They used to do darshan. So my guru Maharaj, he was up there, he was chanting. It was in the morning. Maybe after Mangalati, he was chanting japa up there. There was an initiation that morning after, in the morning he was going to do initiation before breakfast. So I went up there, and then he had japa beads for the new initiates, for the devotees who were getting initiated. You know, their japa beads. And the system is that before he would, after he'd chanted them or before he'd chant, he would get the pujari to touch the beads to the lotus feet of the deities. So I went up there and the beads were there, and he went to the bathroom. So I thought, I know what to do. So I grabbed the beads, went downstairs, gave to the pujari. Pujari walked in. I said, touch this to all the feet of the deities and then bring it back. So they touched it to the feet of the deities, gave it back. I took it back upstairs. I go back up there. He said, what did you do? I said, I took the beads. I touched to all the... He said, to Radharani and Subhadra, you touched to their hand. You don't touch to their feet. So I got the beads, I ran downstairs. Said, touch to all the feet, but Radharani and Subhadra, you touch to the hand. Then I came back up. He said, you always do that. He said, you think you know what you're doing, but you don't actually know what you're doing. He said, why do you do that? You think you know what you're doing. You need to follow guru. Sadhu, Shastra, then you'll know. So we all make mistakes. Mistakes are there in devotional service. But don't keep making the same mistakes. That's the point. Prabhupada would allow you to make mistake. One time, Prabhupada would tolerate. Right? Second time, Prabhupada would get angry. Third time, Prabhupada would not even talk to you. Hari Sariputra writes in his diary, Transcendental Diary. First time Prabhupada, you know, chastised you. Second time, Prabhupada would get heavy. The third time, he would not even talk to you. He'd just say, you are mutha. Foolish ass. You know, one time in... Have you been, you know, Prabhupada's house in Vrindavan? At the back of the temple? And there's the Krishna Balaram guest house and Prabhupada's house. Have you been upstairs? Anyone been upstairs? Yeah, you go upstairs. There's Prabhupada's bedroom is there. They lock it. You can't always go up there, but if you go up there. So Prabhupada's bedroom, there's a balcony. So Hari Sariputra, Prabhupada was up there. He was taking rest after lunch. And then Hari Sariputra went down, and out of habit, he locked the door from the inside. After he went out, then he locked it. So then Prabhupada woke up after half an hour, came out, tried to open the door, and the door was locked. And then he looked over the balcony, and there was no devotees there. Not like now, there's people always walking there. There was no one there. So Prabhupada was up there for 1 or 2 hours. And then finally, one devotee walked past. Prabhupada said, find Hari Sari. So they went and got Hari Sari and brought him back. And when he went up there, he opened the door and he knew what happened. So he went in, offered a basin. Prabhupada did not even talk to him. So Prabhupada was so angry. Wouldn't even talk or look at him. Prabhupada just walked downstairs. So we all make mistakes, but don't do it again and again and again. Right. Otherwise, you're just a mutha. Mutha das. Servant of the asses. Yeah. The devotee should learn to always improve in devotional service. As the demon pursued him, Lord Shiva fled swiftly from his abode in the north, shaking with terror. He ran as fast as the limits of the earth, the sky, and the corners of the universe. So Lord Shiva began to run all over the universe. But one thing Prabhupada points out is that Prabhupada quotes one Bengali proverb, one saying. It says that even if you go to Swaga, your forehead arrives before you. What does that mean? Yeah, your karma. Wherever you go, your karma is already waiting for you. You walk into this room, your karma is waiting. You go out, your karma is waiting. Whatever is there, it is waiting for you. You can't control any of these things. When they come, that's their own system. So Lord Shiva is running, but the lesson is that we cannot run away from those things. If you are meant to be caught, you will be caught. You cannot escape. So Radha Swami, he says that anything can happen at any time. Anything can happen in your life. Whatever's going to happen will happen. You can't stop it. How does that make you feel? How do you feel knowing that you can't stop anything that is going to happen?
Helpless.
Helpless, yeah. Dependent upon Krishna. We are just tiny. We are just impotent. Yes, sir.
Guruji said that Lord Shiva started running, but Lord Shiva being so powerful, why did he kill him?
Yeah, Prakasura had a very, very powerful benediction. So.
But doesn't that the giver of the benediction would be powerful than the person of receiving benediction?
There's some pastime taking place. So. You know, maybe Krishna's yoga maya shakti was there, you know, kind of covering Lord Shiva so that he would feel scared and like this. So, hard to say exactly, but Krishna wanted this pastime to take place. Any points?
Lord Shiva could also vanished.
Vanished?
Yeah, from the side.
The great demigods could only remain silent, not knowing how to counteract the benediction. Then Lord Shiva reached the luminous realm of Vaikuntha, beyond all darkness, where the Supreme Lord Narayan is manifest. That realm is the destination of renunciates who have attained peace and given up all violence against other creatures. Going there, one never returns. Chandan, you want to?
According to Shridhara Swami, Lord Shiva entered the planet of Sukhdeva, a special outpost of the spiritual world within the confines of the material universe. There, on a beautiful white island surrounded by the celestial ocean of milk, Lord Vishnu rests on the serpent bed of Anant Shesha, making himself available to the demigods when the need is held.
Any points there?
He went beyond the to a place which is beyond the three mortals.
Anything else?
Because maybe Vakrasura could not reach there.
Yeah, Vrikasura can't go into Vaikuntha. He can't go out of the material world. So. Anything else? As it is mentioned, he had to take shelter of Lord Vishnu, yeah, and also Vaikuntha itself. The Dham and the Lord are non-different. Krishna and Vrindavan are non-different. No? Taking shelter of Vaikuntha and Lord Narayan are non-different. For a devotee, we take ashraya, or shelter of the Dham, because the Dham is non-different from the Lord. In the sense that everything in the Dham gives you shelter, just as the Lord gives you shelter. Because it is his own potency. The whole spiritual world is simply a expansion of
Balaram.
The potency of Balaram. It is Balaram Shakti that the whole spiritual world manifests. So when you take shelter of Vrindavan, Mayapur or Puri or Vaikuntha, you're taking shelter of the Lord's abode. It is non-different from the Lord in a sense. So devotees, we always take shelter of the Dharma. Right? If there are difficulties in spiritual life, where do we go to? The Dharma. You see, many devotees, when they're about to pass away, where do they go? Many devotees go to the Dharma to pass away. They take shelter of the Lord's abode. Even Prabhupada. Prabhupada said, take me back to Vrindavan. In the last year, a couple of times Prabhupada traveled, but when Prabhupada was not there, he said, take me back to Vrindavan.
Right.
Even though earlier Prabhupada had said in his pastimes, I have no sentiment to die in Vrindavan. Prabhupada said that. He said, if I die in New York preaching, just build a samadhi on the roof of the temple. He said, I have no sentiment to die in Vrindavan. But when Prabhupada became ill, then he said, take me to Vrindavan. So the Dharma is where we get our shelter. When we're going through difficulty in spiritual life, then we go to the holy Dharma, take shelter. Or we come to the temple, because the temple will give you shelter. Take shelter of a holy place, holy people. This will save you in your Krishna consciousness. Any points?
Is one Dharma better in some way than the other? We call this also Vrindavan, our northern temple.
Yeah, well, obviously the spiritual world cannot be replicated. And when the spiritual world manifests in this world, it is non-different. So Vrindavan is non-different from Goloka, Gokul and Goloka. So a temple like this is a like an emissary or a what do they call those places?
Embassy
of the spiritual world. But it doesn't have all the potency of the spirit of Vrindavan. Like when you go to Vrindavan or Mayapur, you know, the Melbourne temple is incredibly powerful, but when you go to Mayapur or Vrindavan, it feels like the potency expands. Of course, if you're very advanced, then you'll feel the two as being the same. But I know for myself, I feel when I go there, it is like everything expands. But in the Western world, I haven't seen very few temples like this. Outside of the actual holy Dharma, you know, for me, I've been to a number of temples in ISKCON, but this temple is incredibly powerful. It has one of the highest standards of deity worship in the whole world, this temple. Any points?
Like, if you leave your body in Vrindavan, they say that you go to the spiritual world. They said if you leave the holy Dharma, leave your body in Mayapur or Vrindavan, you go back to the Lord. But there are people in Vrindavan who are like, even Muslim people are there.
What?
Muslim people, some Muslim people are also there, and then some people are there who are not devotee of Krishna, but they are devotee of demigods, or Shiva or the Durga. So, leave body in Vrindavan.
Yeah, that means eventually they will go.
Eventually.
One time the devotee says, because it says that if you die in Vrindavan, you go back to Goloka. So they asked Prabhupada. Prabhupada said, it is said like that. That's how Prabhupada replied. He said, it is said like that. And there are other places where it says you may have to, if you commit offences in the Dharma, then you may have to take birth as the animals. You know, the monkeys and the dogs and pigs. But eventually you will go back. If you die in Vrindavan, then eventually you will go back.
For devotees, put your body in Vrindavan,
the devotees? For the devotees, they will go almost directly. They may go to the universe where Krishna is performing his pastimes, and they may... Any points?
How to understand the protection and the shelter of the Holy Dham? Sometimes we see cases of there was this experience in many universes, sometimes even not so externally, not so good experience.
But what is the question?
How to understand the shelter and protection of the Dham?
How to understand the shelter?
The dumb.
And protection of the dumb. Because the atmosphere is spiritual. So when you go there, you feel the spiritual world according to your purity of your consciousness. So that you feel sheltered, that you are in the spiritual world. Prabhupada said, it is our home. So when you go there, you feel like you're in your original position. Very easy to practice devotional service in the Holy Dham, because the atmosphere is so powerful. So. Any other point? The Supreme Lord, who relieves his devotees' distress, had seen from afar that Lord Shiva was in danger. Thus, by his mystic yogamaya potency, he assumed the form of a brahmachari student with the appropriate belt, deerskin rod, and prayer beads, and came before Vrikasura. The Lord's effulgence glowed brilliantly like fire. Holding kusha grass in his hand, he humbly greeted the demon. So, Mitesh, would you like to read it?
Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti quotes the disguised Lord Narayana as saying, "For us, see, why created me so worthy of respect? And since you are the son of Shakuni, a wise man, and a performer of great austerities, you certainly deserve the respectful greeting of a young brahmachari like myself."
So, any points? Respect sent for by the Lord.
Sometimes when respect comes, the Lord is giving respect. That's Brahmacharya.
But what is your point?
The Lord is giving respectfully with Vrikasura.
Yeah.
So that respect is very deceptive. It's not going to be good for the person. He'll fall into the trap that the Lord is giving. Similarly, the Lord sends also respect in our lives, which may not be good for us. If we fall in prey to sweet words or respect, not necessarily good for us. So Lord is giving it directly. He's apparently speaking to the customer in a way that is very respectful. But it's going to be the cause of his illusion. He's going to be fooled by the Lord.
Yeah, but then it's ultimately for his good. Because there's nothing Lord never does anything negative, so. And for us, if he sends it, then it's a test. You can go both ways. You don't have to become bewildered. So. Anything else?
Lord is showing that we have to, even although Krishna is a demon, because his father is a wise and a performer of great austerities.
You have to offer praise before you offer criticism. Generally. If you're in the position of spiritual authority, you may just go straight to criticism. But generally, it's a very important lesson to learn. I was reflecting on this today. 1996, I went to Belgium, Radha Desh, which is in Europe. We went there for book distribution. It's like a training seminar. So I went there, and then all the book distributors came, and then one Prabhupada disciple, who is actually the founder of the VTE, the Vaishnav Teaching and Education in ISKCON. He's the one who designed the teacher training courses, and his name is Rasa Mandala Prabhu. Very, very nice devotee. Very good educator, very good teacher. So we went there, and he made this point, and it's always stuck with me since 1996, so more than 20 years. And I always remember this. That he said that when you give feedback, always offer praise before you offer criticism. And he said, as much criticism as you give, you have to give that much praise. So if you're going to give a lot of criticism, you have to give a lot of praise first. Right? And it works. It's a very powerful system. And very dramatic. Very, very appropriate for you, Mitesh. Very dramatic. So we have to learn this art. It's very effective in our communication. If you want to be effective as a communicator in Krishna consciousness, because we have to learn to become good communicators. Because sometimes we have to correct people, correct devotees. So you have to learn this art, science. Actually, I mean, there's different statistics which are given, but it says you should give 13 or 14 positive comments to every one negative comment. 13 or 14. That means in general social dealings. 13 or 14 to 1. If you're an authority, like you're a spiritual authority, then, you know, it may not be like that. It may be more precise. You may not give so many praises to the like that. But generally in social dealings, it is said like that. Even on the way here, in the car, I was driving up to the temple and I had to make an uncomfortable conversation. You know, sometimes you have to ring someone and you know you have to get to a discussion you don't really want to have because you know it could be some friction or some conflict. So, you know, I made the phone call. I actually rang the person when I left the phone. I thought I'll ring while I'm driving. That's when I do different things when I'm driving. I can get phone calls out of the way and different things like that. So I was driving up and then I rang the person and then they didn't answer. And I thought, oh, that's good. So I don't really want to have this conversation. Then they rang back about half an hour later. I thought, oh, no. So then I followed this principle. I just spoke, you know, and just all nice things, and how are you doing, and how's the family, and like that, you know, and all nice things. Oh, that's fantastic. Oh, it's going great. And, oh, yeah, your business is doing well. That's really good. And just all nice things. And I said, oh, there's just this one thing I need to speak to you about. And I said, oh, what's that? And now they're in a good mood. Right. And I said, well, this wasn't very good, this thing you did. Maybe we can rectify that. And they took it very well. I was surprised. And they took it very well because there was positive things leading into it. And then when I said the negative thing, they said that's reasonable. I said, you know, maybe we can fix that. I said, yeah, okay, that's reasonable. So we have to learn this system that you give the positive feedback, then you give the criticism. So you see here in this situation that sometimes the flattery is very effective. The principle is actually coming from Krishna himself. Because what does he do with Vrika? Right? Very sweet words, right? Praises him, flatters him, right? And then later on the correction can come. So this is the system. We should learn this. It's very effective in communications. Any points?
Mm.
The Supreme Lord said, "My dear son of Shakuni, you appear tired. Why have you come such a great distance? Please rest for a minute. After all, it is one's body that fulfills all one's desires." So, Yogi, would you like to read that?
Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Srila Prabhupada comments, "Before the demon could argue that he had no time to take rest, the Lord began to inform the yoga, the importance of the body. And the demon was convinced, any man, especially a demon, takes his body to be very important."
What do you think? What do you think?
Very heavy statement.
What?
Demon,
if
you're giving
force
to your
body, you're a demon. Does it say that? Any man, especially a demon, takes his body to be very important. That's reasonable. I mean, it's a reasonable statement. We all take our bodies to be important. So it's a reasonable one.
And we bring back the vehicle that you use to go to Krishna, to look after.
Yeah. What did Prabhupada say to his disciple Dhananjaya Prabhu? What did Prabhupada say? Prabhupada said, health first, then Krishna consciousness. That's Prabhupada saying that. Health first, then Krishna consciousness. Right? If you're sick, you can't do any service. Prabhupada said, sleep and sickness are maya, stopping you from serving Krishna. If you're sleeping too much or you're always sick, that's maya stopping you from serving Krishna. So Prabhupada said, health first thing. It's not maya to be healthy. Devamrita Swami tells his disciples to go to the gym. He says, go to the gym. There's a guru giving instruction about the body. Go to the gym. Right. Maharaj used to go swimming quite often, 3-4 times a week. I don't think he does it now, but he used to do it. A couple of times I drove Maharaj to the pool. You know, we did laps together. And Maharaj corrected me and said, "You're not swimming properly." I didn't say anything. He said, "No, your action is not proper." And then we sat in the sauna and the spa together. So Maharaj's taking care of his health. That's the problem. Yeah. So it is your service. Prabhupada would sign every letter. What would Prabhupada write at the end of every letter?
May this letter find you well-wisher.
Your ever well-wisher. But what did he write before that? One line before that.
Hope this finds you in good health.
Prabhupada, every letter. Hope this finds you in good health. Your ever well-wisher. A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami. You have to look after your body. It's important, actually. Because we're all getting older now, right? Right. The good days are gone. Right. Now it's all downhill. 36, that's it. Then after 36. Hands up if you're over 36. Yeah, it's all downhill. That's it. 36, you hit this peak thing, and then that's it. It just goes. And then just slowly, slowly. And then it goes rapidly. Right. That's the reality, not the material. So you have to look after your health. So you can serve Krishna. Prabhupada was very strong and very healthy up until the final year. That last year, then his body began to slow down. But up until then, Prabhupada, very strong. You know, he could just, you know, his morning walks and everything, he was just so strong. It was only the very end, very last year, you know, that Prabhupada began to.
Where did this lady place between Vakrasura and...
It says in... A few purports back said in Sweta Dweep. Oh, the where Vrika and Lord Shiva, where did they meet?
No, Vrika and Vishu.
Oh, specifically, I'm not sure.
Because Lord Shiva is already in Vaikuntha and safely guarded.
Yeah, Sweta Dweep, all like that. So I don't know if the Lord has come to where Vrika is or something like that. Yeah, I'm not sure. It doesn't say specifically where. O Mighty One, please tell us that you, what you intend to do. If we are qualified to hear it, usually one accomplishes his purposes by taking help from others. So we should only take service for Krishna. Otherwise, a devotee should not take service. That's not the system. A devotee will accept service. We engage other people in service for Krishna. Even if they're serving us, why do we accept that service? Because it just enables us to be able to serve Krishna more effectively. That's the system. So otherwise, we don't take service. It's like Janani Vas Prabhu, Pankaj Jangri Prabhu, like in Mayapur, very advanced devotees. My Shiksha Guru is very advanced devotees. So Janani Vas Prabhu. Sometimes I take a gift for a Radha Madhava. I go to his room behind the Panchatattva altar in Mayapur and then give the gift. And sometimes I've been there when he's taking prasad. And then at the end, like he stands up, several times I've gone to take his plate because that is the etiquette, that is the sadhacha. If a senior devotee is there, you wash their plate. But he won't give the plate. He won't accept service from others. Even though he's a very advanced devotee. He's over 70 years old and very senior devotee in our movement. Right, very... But whenever you offer obeisances, he offers obeisances back. Right? Won't accept service. Right? That is the system. Right? So a devotee will only accept service if it assists in his service to Krishna. Right? Otherwise, we don't take it. Any points?
Taking remnants of Vaishnavas. Maharaj said the devotee should never give their remnants to anybody because it's like if you give your remnants to others, it means that we are taking their sins and they are taking our good qualities. They are trying to share our bhakti and they are trying to give their sins, trying to share their sins with us. So devotees. Maharaj instructed the devotees should finish all the prasadam in the plate. They should not give remnants.
Shouldn't give remnants, yeah.
That's good.
Yeah, good point. I remember one time I was there in Mayapur, I was in Janani Vas Prabhu's room, and then he was standing, and then I offered him my obeisances, and he was doing something. And then I put my head on his feet. Because that's the etiquette. Yeah, because you put your head on the feet of the advanced devotees. So I put my head on his feet, and he was very merciful. He let me keep it there for maybe 10 seconds or something. Then after a few seconds, he said, "Hey." Well, that, I said, "Okay, that's enough. Time's up to rise." But generally, he won't do that. Generally, if you offer a basin, he will offer back. Very rare. Maybe sometimes he'll give some mercy. Shukadeva Goswami said, thus questioned by the personality of Godhead in language that poured down upon him like sweet nectar, Vrika felt relieved of his fatigue. He described to the Lord everything he had done. So what's the important quality in this verse?
Sweet words.
What about them?
Relieves tension from the other party.
Yeah, very good. Relieves tension from the other party. So if someone comes to your house, what do you have to offer them?
Sweet
words.
Sweet water
and sweet words. You have to give a sitting place. Even if it's just a mat on the floor, but you have to give a sitting place. You have to give water and sweet words. Now, the most important is the sweet words, because it actually describes, if you give very opulent reception to someone comes to your home, and you give them very opulent reception, you give them gifts and, you know, big feasts, all these things. But if you don't give sweet words, the whole thing is empty. And someone comes to your home and all you have is like a glass of water and a straw mat. But if you give sweet words, everything is, people feel pacified. So actually, it's the greatest charity that you can give. And it can make your entire life can become auspicious. If you offer sweet words, your whole life will become very auspicious. You'll see, you know, people, so many difficult situations will be overcome if you can just learn to speak very sweetly to people.
Sweet words basically means praise or appreciation.
If you look at a communication pie chart, so you get a pie chart and then you look at 7% is the actual words that we speak. You can say anything. And then, the body language is 30-something%. Yeah, like 36% or something like that is the body language. It's the tone of voice. It's the way you say it. So it's not so, in communication, it's not so much what we say, it's how we say it. Actually, that is the most. And then I think 60-something% is the body language. So when you communicate, you know, over 90% is your tone of your voice and the body language. Yeah. It's much more important than what it is that we say, but how we say it. The Supreme Lord said, if this is the case, we cannot believe what Lord Shiva says. Shiva is the same Lord of the Pretas and Pishachas, whom Daksha cursed to become a carnivorous hobgoblin. O best of the demons, if you have any faith in him, because he is the spiritual master of the universe, then without delay, put your hand on your head and see what happens. If the words of Lord Shambhu prove untrue in any way, O best of the demons, then kill the liar so he may never lie again. So this is one way to control, materialistic people or antagonistic people. You can speak very sweetly to them. And if you do, because people who are too materialistic, they have big egos and they get easily overcome by praise. Just like, you know, Navina Nirada Prabhu? You know? He comes to Melbourne sometimes. Right? When I was a young devotee, he was the biggest book distributor in the world. Second biggest in the world. You know, amazing amount of books. He could sell like hardback Bhagavad Gitas on the street in a Christmas marathon. He could sell almost 1,000 books in one day. Hardback. Your average days were like 400, 600 books, hardback books on the street. Like very powerful, powerful book. So he was here a few years ago and he went for a japa walk along Beaconsfield Parade. Wherever he goes, he always carries books with him. Even when he's going japa walk, he always has even the small Prabhupada books like Beyond Birth and Death or something. Always has Prabhupada's books with him. He's such a powerful book distributor. So he was just going for a japa walk. And then one man came out of his house like 6:30 in the morning and he had nice BMW, very expensive car. And he came out to get in the car. And the Venus said, "Whoa, is this your car?" The man said, "Yeah." And he said, "Wow, what a car." He said, these are one of the best cars, you know. And he's like, yeah, because he's also Swiss. So it sounds like a German. So they're getting right into the whole car, you know, the BMW and like this whole guitar's going on. So it goes for a couple of minutes. And then Navina said, "Yeah, right, yeah, okay." He goes, "You know, for someone like you," he goes, "I've got these books. They're amazing. You know, for people like you who are really successful," you know, he pulls out one of Prabhupada's books, gives it to the guy, you know, "these books are really powerful." The guy's going, "Yeah, really?" Like that. And Navina goes, "You know, we get donations for them." The guy goes, "How much you want?" He gives him like that. Navina's expert. Because the guy's materialistic. He's like a, not a demon, but like materialistic person. So you just praise them, and you say, "Oh, yeah, by the way, you know, would you like one of these books?" And then people will take. That's the system. Shukadev Goswami continued, "Thus bewildered by the personality of Godhead's enchanting artful words, foolish Vrika, without realizing what he was doing, placed his hand on his head." Instantly, his head shattered as if struck by a lightning bolt, and the demon fell down dead. From the sky were heard cries of victory, obeisances, and well done. The celestial sages, Pitas and Gandharvas, rained down flowers to celebrate the killing of sinful Vrikasura. Now Lord Shiva was out of danger. The Supreme Personality of Godhead then addressed Lord Girisha, who was now out of danger. "Just see, O Mahadev, my Lord, how this wicked man has been killed by his own sinful reactions. Indeed, what living being can hope for good fortune if he offends exalted saints? What to speak of offending the Lord and spiritual master of the universe?" So this is an important point. Krishna saved Lord Shiva. Why did he save him?
He's a devotee,
but very dear devotee. Very dear
devotee.
Spiritual master of the universe. This is explained in Sri Brihad Bhagavatamrita. Narad Muni goes to visit different devotees. Right? So who does he visit first?
Brahmana.
Huh?
Brahmana.
Yeah, he goes to visit the Brahmana. What does the Brahmana say?
I know the king is better than me.
So he goes to visit the king in South India. Right? And then after he visits the king, what does the king say?
I know.
Go and see?
Yeah.
Indra. So he goes to Indra. Then Indra says?
Brahma.
Go and visit?
Brahma.
So he goes to Lord Brahma, and Lord Brahma says, "Go and visit Lord Shiva." Now it's interesting because if you study the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, it's the first book of the Goswamis. Just like in the morning we chant the 10 offenses, we say to disrespect the Vedic literatures or literatures in the pursuance of the Vedic version. So the literatures of the Goswamis, the Brihad Bhagavatamrita is the first one. is the seminal literature. And Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu and the Sandhavas, everything follows from that. So Brihad Bhagavatamrita is a commentary on Srimad Bhagavatam. Right. So it describes the different types of devotees. And this point is made in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita. What happened when Lord Brahma offended Krishna? Lord Brahma offended Krishna. Right. When did Lord Brahma offend Krishna? Yeah, he stole all his friends. What happens if I kidnap one of your friends? Hey, would you be happy? I take one of your friends. So Lord Brahma took all of Krishna's friends.
And cows.
And cows, yeah. Yeah, big offense. Right? And then what happened when he came to beg forgiveness? Krishna just walked away. He didn't even say anything. But with Lord Shiva, Krishna goes out of his way to protect him. Right? Even though there's some mistake has been made. You know, he's put the whole universe in danger. Now this person could do all sorts of things. Right? But Krishna goes out of his way to say, this shows, and this is pointed out by the Acharyas, this shows Shiva's supreme position. Vaishnavanam Yatashambhu, the greatest devotee in the material world. Once you go out in the material world, there are greater devotees. But even in comparison to Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva is extremely dear to Krishna.
Also, Vishnu Acharya comments that the Lord is telling Shiva that you didn't care about your own self.
Yeah. He's such a great devotee. Great devotees do not think of themselves. Awesome. Lord Hari is the directly manifest absolute truth, the supreme soul, an unlimited ocean of inconceivable energies. Do you want a benediction? Okay, here is your benediction. Anyone who recites or hears this pastime of his saving Lord Shiva will be freed from all enemies and the repetition of birth and death. So it says you will never have any more enemies. Even the mind. Is this true? You will never have any more enemies? I've read this pastime many times. I still have enemies. Yeah, that's the point. They can't do anything to you. Krishna will protect you. Srila Prabhupada ki.
Joy.